Thank you, Your Honor. My name is John Watson. I'm here on behalf of the Plains District, the appellant. Your Honor, Ben Franklin didn't go far enough when he said the only things certain in life are death and taxes. If he were here today, he would say that what is equally certain, at least in this case, is that without the Plains District taxpayers getting the Plains Board of Directors first, the authority to issue new development bonds as required by our service plan, and second, to spend the taxpayers' hard-earned dollars on the repayment of those bonds, the director's hands are tied. They cannot issue new construction bonds as required by the service plan. That taxpayer authority expired 7 years ago in 2006. The Special District Act requires Plains to implement its service plan in terms of its facilities and its services and its financial obligations so far as practical. Any new improvements, these recreational facilities, the extension of the Alkire Street into the North Bowl, neither of which were completed during the development phase of the district, any new improvements must be financed with voter-approved general obligation bonds. That's what the service plan requires. And Plains cannot spend tax dollars on anything other than operations and maintenance, classic O&M, and those O&M expenses on existing facilities. In sum, without another election, it is not practicable, not feasible, to build these recreational facilities today.
Council, your opening brief, and I think it's at page 16, acknowledges that in light of the prior division of this court's 2010 opinion, that Plains, in fact, has an obligation, although you put in commas, at some time to build the recreation facilities. You argue that the obligation can be postponed. How long do you propose that ability to postpone goes?
When development justifies it. 4,208. That's the number of the projected population identified in the 1985 service plan.
So if
today,
you never
there
have
are 700 people there.
Okay, so if you never have 4,000 whatever residents, then the obligation never materializes?
If we don't have development in the North Bowl, where we're going to face another 3,500 people coming into the North Bowl, this board has the discretion, pursuant to our service plan, to postpone indefinitely. If there is not development beyond the 16.6% that we now have, if we don't have the other 84% coming in, then this board has the justification. But certainly, irrespective of that, let's assume a court were to say, you have to go build them today. We can't do it today without doing it with bonds, because that's the financial obligation imposed upon us by the 1985 service plan.
So is there a specific provision in the 1985 service plan that says you may only undertake new construction with bonds?
Yes, Your Honor. If you look at our brief, we cite all of the financial provisions that are included.
Well, I appreciate there's a lot of language in there about what you can do with bonds, but is there any language in there that says you can only do it with bonds? Or is that an inference?
As the court states, Your Honor, the PMD service plan, this is the 2009 decision by the first trial. PMD will pay for the facilities with the issuance of bonds. The court interpreted that way, and indeed the plan states that the choice has been made that all new improvements, street improvements, signalization, recreational facilities, will be paid for by general obligation bonds. And the first election in 1986 gave the authority to Plains to go forward and issue those bonds. Bonds were issued, certain things were built, certain
things
were not.
I think I lost a little focus here. since we would be reviewing the plan de novo, what the lower court held is irrelevant, is there a specific provision in the plan that says new construction may be funded only by bond?
It doesn't say only, Your Honor. It says the choice has been made in the service plan. The choice has been made that these improvements will be financed by general obligation bonds.
And the choice has been made, that's language in the plan, not your language?
Oh, yes, Your Honor. It's language in, I'll just refer you to our brief. I don't have a specific page, Your Honor.
Fair enough.
But if you look to those financial provisions recited verbatim in our opening brief, you will see several provisions, including the provision that says, with specifically to these recreational facilities, when the bonds are paid off with respect to the rec facilities, then the rec facilities will be deeded over to the Ken Carroll Master Association when the bonds are paid off. So not only do we have the general obligation in the plan for all new improvements, including streets, storm sewers, sidewalks, health trails, and other things to be done, the general statement, we're going to do it with bonds. It then comes down specifically in the plan and says, when the bonds are paid off with regard to these recreational facilities, the rec facilities will be deeded over to the Kincaid Master.
But the service plan also contemplated that construction on those facilities would start in 1986. So how can you pick and choose what parts of the plan you're going to follow and then what parts of the plan you're not going to follow?
That's what elected officials do all the time, Your Honor. We're not the Department of the Army that spends $400 on useless hammers. We're not the medical marijuana enforcement division that spends money on a vehicle fleet that they don't need. This board over time decided that as development occurred, remember, 1986, this was prairie dog territory. There wasn't anything out there. No commercial, no residential development at all of any kind. The reason for rec facilities is for residents. In the last 26 years, we only have 700 residents. We contemplated building a swimming pool, tennis courts, and ball fields for 4,200 people, only 700. And indeed, the condominium development that's there that houses those 700 already has its own swimming pool. The entire North Bowl is where the other 3,500 people will go over time. And if it's needed, we'll then go back. Indeed, we may be offered during the last trial to go back and hold an election now.
Well, Mr. Watson, were the people that were contemplated, was that only in the Plains District or was that the entire King Carroll community?
This district alone, 4,208 people were contemplated, 700 are there today. Those are the voters in this Plains District that said, okay, you've got authority in 86 to build things. We built lots of things, sidewalks, storm sewers, health trails, streets, signalization, and we didn't build other things that we didn't need. Notably, if you look at Exhibit BB, it's the oversized exhibit that shows the district, the whole northern area of that, land parcels M, N, and O, is the North Bowl. It's barren, it's vacant right now. Right below that is an area that houses condominiums with 700 people in it. Indeed, we plan to put the swimming pool up in that area. But the board over time said, listen, we've only got 700 people. There are all sorts of other recreational facilities that have been built in the area by Foothills, by Ken Carroll. They're going to accommodate the recreational needs. We don't need any more. But critically, we've got to build them with bonds, and that bond authority expired in 2006.
Go ahead.
Can the bonding authority be resurrected by a new election?
By a new election, yes, it could. And we've offered to do that. We've offered to ask the voters in the Plains District, which is the only authorized voters, to do that. We offered that in the trial below. It's in my closing argument.
Why isn't your argument that this can be funded only by bonds, even if it's correct under the documents foreclosed by the prior appeal opinion?
Simply because the authority for bonds expired, Your Honor. There's nothing, nothing to extend it.
Let me try again. I think I asked a poor question.
I'm sorry.
Why isn't your argument that the bonding authority is a complete defense here foreclosed by the prior opinion, which could be read as saying the only relevant consideration is this practicability?
There are two things, Your Honor. First of all, the prior opinion cannot be read to extend a statutory authority that by operation of that statute expired in 2006. This court didn't say it, no court has said it. And it could not be interpreted. It wasn't even addressed in the appeal below. So that court opinion could not possibly be read to extend an authority that expired by operation of the statute.
So in the, you know, I should know I was there, but I don't. So in the prior, in the proceedings predating the prior appeal, did you make the binding authority has expired argument?
No, Your Honor.
Why not?
Simply because we didn't believe we had the obligation in the first instance. We argued in the trial below, as you remember, that a plan is a plan is a plan. It's not a contract. This okay. court determined as a matter okay. of you, law of this case. Okay. So that issue never came up, Your Honor.
Okay. You could have raised it as an alternative defense.
There was no reason to, Your Honor, because the trial court agreed with us that the plan was the plan. So that issue was
the raised. Plan was a plan and not a contract.
That's right.
Okay.
This court said it's a contract, you use the words will. So that's the law of the case. So we know that we have to build it at some point. We agree that at some point an election can resolve all of these issues that we've stated in our brief.
Well, you say you recognize you have to build it at some point, but isn't that a little bit telling having it both ways, because you're not going to build it under your view unless you get voter approval of the bond.
We can't do it, Your Honor. We're stepping all over the toes of every taxpayer there when we said in 2004 we'll have an O&M budget. We've had our development. Our development's done. Everything has occurred in this area, but one of the most important things that hasn't occurred is we're not going to build the Alkire extension, which is referenced in the initial plan, into the North Bowl. Why? Because there's nobody up there. There's no reason to extend it in the North Bowl for 3,500 people that aren't there. They may be there at some point, but the economic slowdown and downturn caused the board to say, listen, we're not going to build that. Oh, no, by the way, all these other recreational facilities are servicing the existing population. We'll build the recreational facilities when they're needed. And we'll come back to you, we'll get bonding authority as required, we need your approval for that, but more importantly, we need your approval beyond the bonding authority, we need your approval to spend our tax dollars to pay off those bonds. And you didn't give us that in 2004.
Let me ask you about that slowdown. You rely heavily on the portion of the service plan that discusses slowdown in development as caused by economic or other factors. It seems to me that your argument about population growth projected versus what's actually there asks us to read in the word residential between slowdown in and before development. So why doesn't slowdown in development refer to both commercial and residential growth? I mean, the plan, the service plan itself contemplated that both of those growths would be taking place. So why wouldn't it be mean both?
Indeed, it could, and that's in the discretion of the board of directors, the elected officials in this district, not this court or any other court. That's the judgment. That's the discretion that our elected representatives make. This board is just like an elected legislature. What are you going to do that the taxpayers want? What are you going to do that the electors want? Well, what you're going to do is follow the plan. First of all, the plan says you need bonds. So we come to you for bonding authority. That bonding authority has expired, we'll come back to you for bonding authority. We need to do that. Number two, in 2004, we said, listen, our development is done, but we need money to operate and maintain what's there. Extensive storm sewers, extensive irrigation systems, health trails. We're going to need money for that. Do you want us to continue to go and live on, or do you want us to just quit now? And they said, live on and spend our tax dollars on O&M, operations and maintenance.
Just one final question. Didn't the service plan also call for a transfer of those, you know, the roads, sewers, that infrastructure to Jefferson County?
Oh, no. And that's a real important distinction. We have to continue to operate and maintain all of the health trails, all of the medians, all of the irrigation systems for the extensive landscaping in the area. we have to continue to maintain the storm sewer system. That's a six, perhaps seven-figure renovation, depending on the circumstances. What we have dedicated to Jefferson County are the streets. One street we didn't build, would have been dedicated to Jefferson County, was the Alkire extension into the North Bowl. We didn't do it because there aren't 3,500 people up there to justify doing it. We'll do it at the right time. Indeed, virtually all of the rec facilities in this area have been developed by developers. We won't have to spend taxpayer dollars in most instances because the developers will do it in the North Bowl. It helps sell their homes. But if we have to do it, we'll go back to the voters and say, give us bonding authority, we'll get the bonds, we'll go build it. As Dennis Caruth said, we would support this, former board member, we would support these recreational facilities, construction operation, if the voters approve it.
I think your time's exhausted.
Yeah, time's up.
Oh, I'm sorry, Brian.
Podium actually moves up and down if you wish to address it.
Thank you. I'm used to your old one, but I...
This one works better.
This one's cool. Thanks. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Richard Shearer, and my attorney number is 8792. I'm the attorney, like Mr. Watson, has been with this case for somewhere around 7 or 8 years. So we both know a lot about it, and we both have some very different opinions about it. One of the things that I think is important, and this flows from one of Judge Lichtenstein's questions, is what are we talking about here? This is the Ken Carroll Ranch community. This is not just Plains Metropolitan District. You've got two fully developed residential areas on either side of Plains. They are the Ken Carroll Ranch Metropolitan District. That is my client along with the taxpayers. Now, they are part of the community that has the right and the benefit of these recreational facilities. That is why standing was found to exist for the taxpayers who all live in the Ken Carroll Ranch Metropolitan District. This service plan does not tie, as Judge Fox noted, anything to development of the residential area. In fact, the flexibility provision that Mr. Watson relied upon so heavily is in provision that says financial considerations. And the financial considerations are that the evidence at trial clearly showed that $216 million of actual value has been built in Plains. And when you distill that down to assessed value, it's $61 million. Many of those properties, the commercial properties that have been built, are owned by the people that control the Plains Board. They have done everything in their power to avoid doing what this court ordered them to do the last time we were up here. They even tried to change their 2005 service plan, and this court decided in 2005, they even tried to change the 1985 service plan, and this court decided that was highly improper because what they did was they tried to do what they're doing today using postponement language that at this time, but then they took all the will build, the mandatory language, and changed it to may build these recreational facilities. This board is not doing what it's required to do and what is now practicable to do. When this court decided this case the last time around, I was ecstatic. The service plan is enforceable. I was disappointed when I read on and it said it's going to be remanded to the district court to determine if it's practicable under 32.1.2071 because the service plan must be followed to the extent that it's practicable. And I went and scratched my head and said, what in the heck does practical mean? And then I had this epiphany, and the epiphany went something along these lines. Of course, the Court of Appeals couldn't decide what was practicable. It could hardly give us any guidance on what is practicable in the abstract, because practicable, like many things in special district law, requires us to look at what's going on the ground in that particular district. Is it practicable? So we went down to the district court, and Judge Russell allowed us to submit briefs on what was and wasn't practicable so that we would know what to do for discovery and for the new trial on remand if she chose to take additional evidence, which she didn't have to do. But she did. And she ruled in a pretrial ruling on practicability that two of the three issues that were raised by Ken Carroll and Plains were going to be tried at the trial. And those two issues were, was there enough money to build them? And the Court of Appeals decision that remanded the case said, in whole or in part. So was there enough money to build them, in whole or in part? And second of all, was the land, because they had built all over the place already. And the question became, was there land available? And then the third issue, and the one that she said was not relevant, was need. One of the issues is being resurrected on this appeal. Need in the discretion of the Ken Carroll Ranch Metropolitan District Board, which is controlled by its commercial owners, will have to pay for these rec facilities. And what they're saying is need is somehow tied to residential development in Plains. As I explained, that's not what the service plan says. The service plan says it will be for the benefit of the community. The district court found the same, and this court found that in its prior ruling. It's for the community. It is not just for the residents of Ken Carroll Ranch of the Plains Metropolitan District. And to say that the Board of Directors is or has made some kind of decision not to build these facilities based on need flies in the face of the evidence at trial. You can examine the record on this case up one side down the other, and what you're going to find is it's Mr. Watson sitting here arguing to you what the Board of Directors has and hasn't done. Because there's no evidence in that record that supports that kind of statement that this board made a finding that there's no need because there isn't residential development in Plains. And even if they did make that finding, that's why we have the Special District Enforcement Act. They need to follow their plan. Now, that gets to the question of what about bond financing. Judge Webb, you put your finger right on it. There is nothing. And Mr. Watson did not answer your question directly. There is nothing in their service plan that requires the use of bond financing.
Isn't the provision, and I'm only going to paraphrase it, that these facilities transfer to the Ken Carroll District after the bonds have been paid for?
Correct.
Doesn't that create a strong inference, if we're interpreting possible ambiguity, that the intent was they be built with bonds?
I think it does create an inference that they were intended to be built with bonds at that time. I don't think that takes away from the practicability argument.
Well, let's stay with the bonding for a minute.
Right.
If we were to interpret the service plan as providing that the facilities will be paid for by bonds, why doesn't the inquiry end there?
Because they caused the problem. And when I say they, I mean the Board of Directors of Plains. This lawsuit was started in 2004. The bond authority still existed in 2006. There is nothing in the service plan that requires that. And I'm begging your question to an extent. But there's nothing in the service plan that requires that they use those bonds or that they have other bonds. They are allowed, as a matter of law, and we had expert testimony on this, and we had the government finance laws in front of us, to use any of the revenues that they have, including the 2004 real estate revenues, real estate tax revenues, to build these plans. And had they chosen to do that, let's say the bond rates were terrible, had they chosen to do that, there would be no enforcement action against them for choosing to use alternative financing. But
are you saying that there's a specific provision in the special district statutes or related government finance statutes that says that new construction can be funded by sources other than bonds?
Absolutely. We've cited all the statutes in our brief.
Okay. And let's assume again, I'm not trying to cut your legs up, but let's assume we conclude that the plan says bonds only. Which prevails, the general statutory authorization or my hypothetical restrictive interpretation of the plan?
This is my answer to your question. I do not believe that even if you decided that the original intent was bonds only, which I do not believe the plan supports that, even if you decided that, because the Special District Enforcement Act looks at practicability, which, as the Judge Russell defined, and no one's challenged your definition, and I like it. It's not quite what I had in mind, but it's okay. But it's, if you can't do it exactly the way that it was meant to be done, can you overcome existing obstacles? And if expiration of bonds, they're allowing their bonds to expire without using the money, that their ability to issue new bonds, if they did that, they can overcome the obstacle by using alternative forms of legally allowed financing.
Even if that's contrary, even if in my hypothetical that was contrary to the plan?
I think yes. The answer is yes under the circumstances of this case, because they are the ones that put themselves in the position, it's just like anybody else that causes the breach or the impossibility of performance on the contract. You can't say, oh, you know, I didn't hire these guys before they went to work for somebody else, and now I don't have any access to labor to build this building. And, you know, you had the ability to do it. The contract's not impossible. They had the ability to do it at that time. They chose not to issue these bonds when they still could have. When they had their tax base was big enough, they could have built this, and they chose not to do that. They had the pre-existing authority, and they let it go. They cannot do that and avoid the statutory requirement that is the enforcement of the Special District Act, and this just is, you have to make this decision. This is your decision, is they cannot avoid anything that required them to build these recreational facilities for the benefit of the community. When there's land available, there's money available to do it. This is a community project. They let it go, and now in the technicality, the bond part, and I don't mean to demean the service plan language, but I don't believe it requires only bond money. I don't believe the law requires only bond money. And I do believe the Special District Enforcement Act 321-271 clearly says if it's practical, if they can overcome the obstacle of their allowing the bonds to expire with some other source of money, yes, you can order them to do that, and it will not violate the service plan.
Now, doesn't the record substantiate that they have used mechanisms other than bonds and taxes to finance other construction in the district, within the district?
Not new construction by planes. The evidence in the record, you're right, but it's not as to planes. The evidence in the record was very clear that under the government finance provisions, you can use your general obligation money, the property tax money, that they are straining their interpretation of their ballot question to say they can't use for new construction. You can do that. Other districts do it all the time. In fact, their own manager did it when he was managing the Ken Kill Management Fund District.
I guess I was thinking that there was some expert testimony to the effect of some lease loan option.
Yes, it was, but not as to planes. Special districts around the state of Colorado use lease financing, which is, you just think of it as a loan with installment payments. And what it boils down to is the lender continues to own the property until it's paid off, and then it can be transferred over to somebody else. But the lender owns it until it's paid off. And then that's lease financing as opposed to traditional loan where you give your car as collateral to pay it back, but you're the owner in title. And so lease financing is used throughout the state of Colorado by special districts for capital projects to build new facilities. It's done all the time, and it does not require voter approval. But I do want to touch on voter approval, if I may, because in 2004, the voters of this district, Plains Metropolitan District, gave absolute permission to fund these recreational facilities with that O&M, operational and maintenance levy of 8 mils. You read through that budget, that ballot question, you will not find any limitation that says it cannot be used for new facilities. You'll find no limitation that says it can't, must only be used for existing facilities. That's the crux of their argument, is we don't have any other money. Oh, they've already put over $500,000, this is the evidence of trial, in the bank. Their expenses, even with their litigation expenses, are very small. They have a very large amount of money coming in every year that's excess. They can make those lease financing payments in a heartbeat. If not, they can use the money to build it in phases.
Now, what are they? Their continuing operations and maintenance obligations?
Not much. Mr. Watson talks, he talks about, we're going to redo the sewers, we're going to redo that. There's no evidence of that. There's no evidence of any of that, that they need to do that. That they need the money. In fact, the evidence was from their own manager that their contingency fund of $400,000 plus in last year's budget was just a plug number to make it balance. That the water shares number they had of $100,000, again, not an obligation, it's just something in case they want to buy the golf course. Their expenses are nominal. They pay their manager and they pay some minor maintenance and that's it. Their trails are sidewalks. They got a few medians. That's it. We're talking about a lot of money coming in the door every year on an 8 mil levy that can be used to do this with no limits in the ballot language, no limits in the Tabor notice. The only limit is their hypothetical that says it's only for existing facilities when you're not going to find that language anywhere. And in fact, if you know, Mr. Watson mentioned to Mr. Farooq at the end of his argument, if the voters approve it, we, the board, will go forward. The voters did approve it in 2004, a source of money to build these. But more importantly, Mr. Carruth testified that, and we quoted this in the brief, they never considered, when he was on that board and was involved in drafting that 2004 ballot question, that it could only be used for existing facilities and not for new facilities. There is nothing in there that says it's limited to existing facilities. It would have been really easy writing in. And Mr. Carruth said, we didn't even think about that. How would the voters be expected to say, okay, it's only for existing facilities, can't be used now, to meet the obligation that they have under the service plan? And where is the unfairness to the owners of property when the service plan has been a record since 1985, every owner of property in that area knew about this obligation when they bought the property. To say now the voters have to have, the property owners have to have a say, that's just wrong. They voted for the O&M levy in 2004. They knew what they got into when they bought their property. It was of record, clearly.
Your time is up.
Thank you, sir.
We appreciate the arguments of both counsel. The case stands submitted. We will issue a written opinion in due course.